Super Tuesday. Let your voice be heard. Then listen for the updates, recap, and analysis. FM Talk has enlisted the assistance of the best political pundits in Alabama to unwrap the results of your votes locally. The AL1 congressional race. Will there be a runoff for the U.S. Senate seat? Sean Sullivan and Jeff Poor host election night coverage presented by the Craig Smith Agency with new lower auto insurance rates beginning when the polls close at 7 on FM Talk. FM Talk 106.5.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone, and I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live on this Super Tuesday Eve. And we are live from the Dumb Waiter in downtown Mobile right here next to Bienville Square. You'll see, trust me, because it's like it's blocking out the sun here to some degree. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit stop by and see us for a very special occasion here as it is lunch at the Dumbwaiter, and we are with the owner here, Wes Lambert, also candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary. And so why are you open for lunch today?
Man, we're open today because it is Monday before Super Tuesday.
Okay.
And I felt like that so many people have been asking for lunch, and I felt this was a good day to do one lunch in 4 years. It's been 4 years since we opened for lunch.
So I've been getting from
So this is for you, Sean.
Well, I appreciate that because I walk in here and people are saying, this is awesome. We've been waiting for this for a long time. You got so many fans that come in for dinner.
We do.
But this lunch thing is obviously
it's
being well-received.
Special and, you know, hopefully people look at it. And when we do it again, and we might get with you on November and do it
all
again.
All right. So we get lunch. So people who are fans of, like, the dinner menu,
mm-hmm.
What do they need to know about the lunch menu?
Lunch menu is totally different. You have okay. You still have the hook on there. You have the shrimp and grits, but now we have a Philly cheesesteak. We have a the tuna sandwich is back for the day that people loved.
Yes.
We have an open-faced pot roast sandwich, which is...
These are
what
too many choices.
Yeah. So, and the first plate that came out, it didn't look like we needed to clean it when it went back.
So you got very happy people in here.
Very happy. So I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to be open today.
This is it's a lot of fun. So y'all come on by, have lunch with us here at the Dumbwaiter, a very special occasion, first time in 4 years, and you'll probably be busy. I know you're always busy here with your business, but
right.
But you're going to be, I'm sure, all over AL1 tomorrow, checking in with folks.
We will be, and I'll actually be working tomorrow night. So.
Well,
instead of watching TVs, I'm going to work.
So not only are you a person that a lot of people who run for office say, I'm a businessman, I like to run government like a business, you're pretty much proving it right now.
I get
you got the businessman chops here.
I do, and I love our clientele. I love the people that come visit with us, eat with us, and you know, you can't ask for any more. When they come back, and like you said, for lunch, people have been begging for
yes.
us to open. You know, it makes you feel good as a business owner that people want to come in here and dine, because there's so many options downtown.
Do you get the difference when you're walking around and visiting like you do with your customers? Do you get more AL1 questions or more open-faced pot roast sandwich questions?
I get a lot more dinner questions at night, but today we've gotten a bunch of the congressional questions
right.
walking around. So
it's kind of different to have somebody who's running for office
that
is a restaurateur that we can come in and talk to
and complain if you want to. You know, people come in and some people aren't happy with their food, but 99.9% of them are.
Yeah. Hey, so. if you're elected and you have the success rate and you have the satisfaction rate you do in the restaurant business in Congress.
Right.
You'll be the first
I'll
one
be
ever.
First one ever by far.
First one ever to do it. Just joining us, talking to Wes Lambert. We are here at his restaurant, the Dumbwaiter, downtown for a very special lunch. Of course, tomorrow, Super Tuesday. So let's talk about turnout issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are talking about, oh, the weather's going to be bad, this, that, or the other, or people feel pretty sure President Trump's going to win. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff on the ballot.
I agree. I mean, and like you and I talked about a couple weeks ago, how our race has fallen kind of below, you know, the Senate race. And I understand it's two different things, but you would think we'd get more publicity in our race because this is your person that's running in your district.
Right. This is, we don't have to share anything outside of AL1.
Correct.
Let's talk about...
and I think it's still low on the radar.
No, it is not.
Except for you, because you always talk about it.
Because we're into this kind of stuff. Yeah. We believe that this is important. So your pitch to people to come out tomorrow to vote, show up?
Show up, come vote, you know, do your research on the candidates. You've still got one day to do that. And make an educated vote. Don't just go off name recognition, because some of us don't have the name recognition. I could put dumbwaiter on the ballot and people would know that, but I did not. But just, I would do what's best for our area and just do, you know, educate yourself on the candidates and go from there.
This is your first run for office?
It's the first run for any office.
So, I mean, this is, you're coming into this. What motivated you to do this?
I feel like business people should be running the largest business in the world, and that's the United States Congress. And I kind of got tired of the same people running over and over again for the same positions or a different position moving themselves up. So I felt like we needed a choice in this district, and hopefully I provided that.
I mean, this is a man that already has a 24-hour day job, and you campaigned on top of that. So hats off to you.
And I'm ready for Wednesday.
Yes, I imagine.
I know
you are.
A lot of us are.
Yeah, I imagine you are. All right. If people want to get more information, like you said, they still do have a day. Polls open at 7 tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. They want to do research. Where do they go?
WesLambertForCongress.com. Okay. And then you can look at the other guys' sites and Facebook posts and so forth as well.
All right. Check back in with you in just a little bit.
Please.
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for having us out. We are live at the Dumbwaiter, and it is a very special lunch at the Dumbwaiter. I've got room to come on in. Get the table right by us so you can visit with us. So we got some FM Talk 106.5 goodies we brought along as well. Got some huggers here and a limited edition. Oh, we got the Danny Lipford tumbler, a tumbler too from today's homeowner. He's hooked us up with to give to you. So stop on by and see us in downtown. It's been too long since we got to do a show right here in downtown, right next to Bienville Square at the Dumbwaiter. And coming right back, we'll switch gears to the Senate race. And Jeff Sessions joins us next right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. We are live in downtown Mobile at the Dumbwaiter Restaurant. They've opened up for lunch for the first time in 4 years to get ready for tomorrow's Super Tuesday. I like this. So come by and see us right here across from Bienville Square. And we'll be here until 2 o'clock. We'll be doing this lunch thing as well. So come on in and grab some FM Talk 106.5 goodies when you do. And, yeah, it is Super Tuesday Eve and talking to the candidates. And you know this man. You know his name. And he's joining us again on Midday Mobile. Always a pleasure. Jeff Sessions, thanks for your time, Senator.
Thanks, Sean. It's good to talk to you. Appreciate your service to hometown Mobile.
It's a thing I'd be doing anyway. Even if I didn't have a radio show, I'd be out on the street corner somewhere saying this stuff. So it's good that they put a microphone in front of me. So let's talk about the choice people have to make tomorrow here in this Republican Senate primary. First of all, why should they vote for you?
Well, we're at a big time in history. We've got a surging socialism ideology that I fought toe-to-toe with Bernie Sanders on the budget committee for a number of years. I was clearly his number one nemesis, but it's a dangerous, dangerous philosophy. Socialism, it goes beyond our constitution of limited government. It creates more government, more power, more taxes, more regulation. It weakens economic growth and reduces our freedom as individual Americans. We have got to stand up to that. So that's a big part of what we're doing. But there's so many other issues there. I was the leader in the Congress for many years, number one out of 535 on immigration. I was probably the number one person that challenged the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement that President Obama did and was on the road to passage, even with Republican votes, until President Trump got in the race and hammered it. And we were able to stop it. But there's so many things out there that are important. We're also at a point where we got to stand up to China on trade and on other issues, I formed as Attorney General the China Initiative. In the last 4 years of President Obama, there was not a single prosecution of a Chinese entity, and we have now 50 pending in the Department of Justice. We basically doubled our budgets and focused on the cheating that's been going on, the fraud and illegality, and we need to back President Trump up in that. We just got to back him up. I was shocked that Tommy Tuberville said he didn't agree with Trump on China, said he didn't believe in tariffs, which is how President Trump brought them to the table, how he ended NAFTA and created the better trade agreement with Canada and Mexico. So there are a lot of big issues out there. I'm able to hit the ground running. I know what we're doing. I haven't changed. I'm the same person. I truly believe we can make a historic difference when President Trump is reelected, and we got our momentum, and we can fix this border and stand up for working Americans against unfair trade.
Yeah, that's something that you and I have talked about before, and I've asked other candidates too, that President Trump has made this change. Now, I have said in the past that the ideas that President Trump campaigned on, I've sure heard you speak a lot about that during the years of Obama. So, for sure, obviously, it's in your wheelhouse. But what happens going forward if President Trump is elected another 4 years? When those 4 years are over, does this new movement, does this change that is happening in Washington, does it go away? Is it just tied at the hip to a person, that person being Donald Trump, or do you think it has enough resonance to live on?
That is such a good question. There are a group of real thinkers that are worried about that. It cannot, must not die with President Trump, but right now there's no doubt about it. He is the central figure in it. What we need in America, I guess I don't want to sound braggadocious here, but he needs some people that can defend what he's doing intellectually and on the floor of the Senate and write the op-eds and go on the TV interviews and be able to help give legs to the ideas that he has, which are right. We need to defend American jobs against unfair trade. We need to end illegal immigration. We got to be careful about these prolonged wars that have gone on. All those are what the American people believe in, and they must not be allowed to fade away. And we do have we don't have enough Republicans to get it. I got to tell you, when I supported Trump, I was the only one. When I stood up on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Paul Ryan was all for it. McConnell and the majority of the Senate all voted for it. Actually, Senator Shelby, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul, and Susan Collins, and I led the argument. We are the only five that voted against it. Until
out of the entirety of the Senate,
Kansas,
only five of y'all.
You know, attacked it and it went away. But that showed me how powerful he could be.
And I mean, that's amazing. Only five. I mean, think about that back then. Only five of y'all opposing that. And look at if we had reset it to today with the way things have changed, there might only be, well, there'd probably be less than five that wouldn't agree with you. You know, but it was different days back then.
Well, it was. And it was a narrow thing. It would have created a European Union where we only got one vote out of 12. And it reduced our sovereignty on trading agreements in the Pacific region. They also wanted to do one in the Atlantic after that. It was a dangerous globalist trend that has been stopped.
You know, you said something earlier that I think is important, is the how many Republicans you think, you know, really get it, because that's what I think, that's the next step people have to think about. President Trump, when he's, you know, termed out here and he's gone, will people be able to come and make those sentient arguments of why this works and why this is good when there's just not somebody to agree with? And I'm not trying to be flippant, but, you know, instead of just saying I agree with this person, knowing why they agree with that person and knowing why this works.
We need that. I really think, let me just say it to your listeners right this way. I had reached those same conclusions before I had any idea President Trump would run for president. So when he ran, the reason I supported him was because he was saying the same things Alabamians believe, the same things I believe, and I thought he was a strong, vigorous candidate who could actually win. A lot of people didn't think so. I did. And it was a gamble. Who knew? But I believe he was right on the issues, and I believe he would win. So he's delivered more than I think most of us could imagine, especially in the difficulties he's faced in the hostile media and the Mueller investigation. All of that he just prevailed on, and he needs to continue this revolution that focuses on making Americans stronger, making our workers get better wages. For the first time, we're seeing wages increase above inflation, first time in 20 years. So this is a healthy trend. This is how we'll defeat the socialists, when we have a good, strong economy produced by good conservative Republican ideas. But I'm really excited about it, but I do think I've studied the issues. I've battled with them for years. I can hit the ground running. We don't need to have a nubbin up there that doesn't get it, doesn't have passion for it, and can't impact the game. He's going to need all our agenda. Is going to need every bit of vigor and intellect and facts that we can bring to bear.
Senator Sessions, you mentioned the investigation, so let's talk about the question that everybody has that comes through and says, well, you know, at that time, Attorney General Sessions recused himself, and that's the reason people will be upset with you. So I know you've explained it to us before, but a chance to do it again, and why the recusal?
Well, recusal, all it basically says is that you can't investigate a matter for some reason. In this case, it was because I was part of the campaign. I was the national security chairman. I nominated President Trump at the convention. I chaired one of the chairmen of his transition committee. I traveled all over the country with him. So I was investigating myself. So you can't do that. As a specific regulation, it says you can't. And it was just so frustrating for him to see it go on, and they turned over every rock three times. But they cleared him. They didn't even bring it up in impeachment. Collusion was not even mentioned. So, at any rate, we're at a point now where the president, I think, will be reelected. Lord knows, I hope the virus and nothing changes. You just never know. But I feel like he's in a great position to win re-election, and he'll need some people who believe deeply in what he's advocated, and I'm that person.
Mind folks, too, that there is a lot on the ballot. I've talked about that because you think about there may be people out that are supporters of President Trump say, well, he has no chance of being, you know, Bill Weld is no threat, so I'm not going to show up tomorrow. But holy cow, there's a lot at stake in tomorrow's primary.
Well, it is indeed, and I would urge everybody to go out. We may have a lot of rain tomorrow. People just gonna need to go out. I need your vote. Look, I have stood in advance almost alone on a number of occasions what I truly believe Alabamians believed in. I did not become a part of the establishment. I do not like these people saying I'm just a career politician, part of the establishment, do nothing. I've been one of the top fighters. I think everybody, if they think about it, would know that. And I've stood and fought. And I'm asking Alabamians to stand with me now. I don't want the national news to celebrate, that Alabamians didn't support their senator, their former senator, and the issues I've fought for over the years. I really think we can make a difference, and I'll give it my best effort. I am committed to it, and will bring all my energy to that issue.
I always appreciate our discussions, and we'll talk again soon. I know you've got a lot of stuff to do today, and of course tomorrow we'll be busy. We'll be watching and checking in with you throughout the day tomorrow.
Thank you. We're running the state today. I'm at Clanton at the Main Street Cafe, and a lot of nice people here.
Well, good. Tell the folks up in Clanton, us down here in Southwest Alabama, said hello.
All right. Good deal.
All right, thank you. It is Jeff Sessions checking in here on Midday Mobile. Of course, tomorrow, one of the questions that's out there is where will the undecided voters go? And this is this you've seen numbers as high as in the AL1 race, 30%, and I think they were in the 20s. And we're going to talk to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, here in just a second about that. You have these big undecided blocks. Now, where will the undecideds break? That's what the people get big money for. They're trying to figure out. You've got the percentages. You see this poll, another poll. You've got, of course, that man right there, former Senator Sessions, at the top position in most of them. There's one recently that had Tuberville at the top position. And then you have most of them say Sessions, Tuberville, and then Burn. But you have this big number of undecided voters, and where do they go? If they were going to break one way, what's the most likely way they would break in a Republican primary? We'll ask that question a whole lot more of Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. He joins us next. We are live at the Dumbwaiter special day, open for lunch at the Dumbwaiter here in downtown Mobile, right on Bienville Square. Come see us. Grab some FM Talk 106.5 goodies while you're here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile, and we are live at the Dumbwaiter in downtown Mobile. Man, it smells fantastic in here. More of this, please, Wes Lambert. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we're down here for a special lunch. A lot of people have been wondering about what's happened today. Yeah, lunch is on today on this Super Tuesday Eve, and we'll continue our conversation with Wes Lambert. But love for you to come by and say hello to us. Also, let's check in with our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And the man in Montgomery with the plan. Hey, what's up, Todd?
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Well, I mean, it's the eve of one of our one of our Super Bowls here for guys like us, right?
Oh yeah, look, 24 hours from now, we will be sitting around saying, "Okay, what are you hearing? You're hearing about turnout here. What are you hearing about the downpours up north or
yep.
in East Alabama? Well, how's that affecting things?" Of course, nobody will really know what's going on until the election results come in tomorrow night. But yeah, look, man, this is the final minute of the ball game.
Okay, you're super savvy on this from Montgomery to Washington, and you've done it for a long time. So let's talk about that turnout thing. That's a question. I mean, even going away from candidates now, let's just talk about people showing up or not showing up tomorrow. What do you think the reasons for both are? I mean, what do you think? I mean, I hear it's going to rain. It rains all the dang time. We're in Alabama, okay? You know, I mean, people go do everything else in the rain. Why wouldn't they go vote? Do you really think that affects turnout?
It does, and especially if it's really heavy rain when people are going to vote. Like, if you plan to vote in the morning, right, and you're there at 7 o'clock, and it is a crazy heavy downpour, then maybe you decide, okay, I'll push it off to noon, or I'll push it off till 5 mm-hmm. or whatever, and the likelihood of you actually returning diminishes. But again, as far as the turnout goes, overall, it's going to rain pretty heavily tomorrow. And it's not like committed voters don't show up, right? If you're a devoted, committed, high-information voter, then yeah, you're going to vote just like you always do. It is the less right. engaged, less informed voters that typically would let the rain, you know, stop them from going to the polls. So that's why, just from a general sense, if you have fewer of those who are just kind of like, well, I may vote, kind of a casual voter, then that takes away some of the advantage of those with the highest name ID, right? Like a Tuberville or a Sessions that their name is ubiquitous.
Yeah, so let's talk about, okay, the people that will show up, like the post office will show up. So will it be good for, I mean, not like he's, I don't think he's got any chance of winning anything tomorrow, but will there be a, if it's a low turnout, it seems to me the percentage of people that show up for Roy Moore will be higher.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. Look, we know it's a three-way race right now. We know that it's a three-way contest. Jeff Sessions, Tommy Tuberville, Bradley Byrne. Sessions and Tuberville, it's kind of harder to see exactly what they need to happen because, again, they have really high name ID statewide. But if you're talking about Bradley Byrne, a rain forecast, especially for North Alabama and East Alabama, is nothing but good for him. Because if those voters in places where he is least known, he's had the, you know, the highest hill to climb, if more of them stay home, then it can only be a good thing for Bradley Byrne. That's not to say that, you know, he absolutely gets in the runoff if it rains. I'm just saying that's one factor among many that could. And yet, you know, the place in the state where it's supposed to rain the least, you know, is Mobile and Baldwin counties. So it could be a perfect storm scenario. You never know.
Well, okay. I get the funny perfect storm. This is interesting. So this is, y'all, this is one of the many reasons I love talking to Todd Stacey. So in this scenario, let's talk about this, that Bradley Byrne, who has had to work real hard on name ID, obviously in the Shoals areas in the north and other parts of Alabama, that the weather, yes, because we don't have the rain chances, I think, coming in until tomorrow night late, said our staff meteorologist. So they're coming in late. So more people would be, in this theory, I like this, less affected by weather down here for turnout, but suppressed in the areas that might be bad for Bradley Byrne. So actual weather outcome could change these numbers. I mean, you could play this back on a beautiful bluebird day and play it back on a rainy day, and you think the percentages would be different?
Maybe a little bit. I don't think it changes all that much, but when you've got a race,
We're looking at a runoff, right? I mean, everybody, it could
be razor thin. Yeah. Then look, shaving off a couple of points in several counties is a big deal, and especially if the dynamics are such that, like you said, North Alabama gets a lot of heavy rain, and Mobile and Baldwin are relatively, dry throughout the day when people are voting.
I wonder on Tuberville voters, trying to assume about all them at one time. That's silly. Everybody's an individual, but I wonder if they are is fired up or motivated. Like you said, they have that great name ID, but there may be a lot of people answering polls, even polls like you put on, through Alabama Daily News, that say Tuberville, but it's not enough for them to show up on Election Day.
Well, look, these races, it's all about who they know, who they would choose, right? Every time we take a poll, it's just asking, okay, if Election Day was held today, who would you vote for? And yes, Tuberville and Sessions have both been doing really well in a lot of those. A lot of it comes down, Sean, to voter enthusiasm. If I'm a voter that, man, I just really care about getting out to vote for my candidate, Bradley Byrne tends to have more of those types that are just fired up. Maybe they've been with him since the beginning, and, he has earned their vote. They're going to go out and do it. I'd say where Tuberville has an advantage is that casual voter who maybe hasn't, tuned into every single press conference and every single ad and all these kind of things. But when he goes to the poll and looks at his ballot, says, "Oh yeah, I heard something nice about Tuberville. He's for Trump, and I think he was a pretty cool coach. Seemed like a nice guy, and I don't like the other two." That's a more of a casual voter, maybe that doesn't, engage politically like all of us nerds are. I think Tuberville has an advantage with those. And if weather or other factors keep that voter from the polls, then that would probably hurt Tuberville.
All right, let's shift gears to a second to something we talked about last week. And I love this because you and I are on two sides of this. I don't know how concrete you are and how concrete I am on it. We're on different sides of this Amendment 1 question. So this is fun as we try to explain to people what they'll be seeing on the ballot tomorrow. We can make our case. So Amendment 1, I mean, I've told people for the last couple of weeks, we're talking about whether the school board or state board of education is going to be decided by people voting for the people in their district, or it's going to be done by, listen to this, y'all, this is how I get Todd mad, some sort of executive branch fiat that is crammed down on the people in Alabama.
You don't get me upset, but it's like, I mean, you're wrong about that. since 1969, the state has gone with an elected school board. Right, they made the choice back then to say, okay, we're going to elect our school board statewide. It has changed a little bit because it used to be by congressional district. Now they have these districts that are just sort of nebulous. I'm not sure where the district lines are. Nobody really does. I think I may know who my school board member is, but I'm not sure. The problem is that not only do people not know who their school board member is, they don't know who, anybody on the school board. And so there's just a lack of accountability in terms of, okay, let's say that the schools in the state, you know, the scores and everything have just gone south, which, by the way, they have for the last 10 years.
Yep.
There's a huge lack of accountability because the voters who are charged with taking care of that, right? Okay, our schools are horrible. They've been going downhill. They haven't been. We just haven't been. It's easy to run for school board because all you had to do is say the right things and put the right ads on TV. But they clearly haven't addressed the problems. And so the state, you know, Governor Ivey, Del Mar, some of these others have wanted to follow the direction of a lot of other states to get away from an elected body and more toward a professional commission that takes these matters up. But anyway, yeah, I'm for it. And I understand the reasons why people die. You know, anytime you take and say, well, we'll take away somebody's right to vote. Totally understand that. I totally understand anybody being against it. The problem is nobody has come up with a better idea. Nobody's,
well,
you know.
And at the same time, you know, in the Mutual Admiration Society here, I agree with you in the fact, and I've said every time I say, hey, we need to keep the vote here. We need to stay the way it is and not change. At the same time, not that I can go smack everybody in the back of the head, but my gosh, people go pay attention. People know more about elected officials in other states in Washington than they know something going on with State Board of Education in their state.
It's systemic thing, right? It's not just, yeah, okay, we should pay more attention. I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath, Sean. People aren't going to change behavior like that. But it's not just that. It's systemic. It is difficult for a school board member. You know, at the local level, it makes a lot of sense. You see them at the grocery store. You know, you run into them all the time, and they're dealing with local problems at the local level. They have a state school board. It is very difficult for me as a guy who was elected to represent, you know, 700,000 people, to really take all those interests to heart when making education policy for the entire state. You run into, okay, I'm responding to the whims and feelings of my constituents that really in Dothan that don't have anything to do with schools in Mobile, and it makes it really difficult to form statewide education policy.
But how's an appointed person?
Other states have found that as well, and they've gotten away from these elected boards because they're so systemically problematic.
Yeah, but how's an appointed group going to not deal with those same issues? I mean, if you're appointed by the governor to oversee whatever district that is, you're still going to have the problem of what happens in Dothan is different than Mobile, and what happens in Sylacauga is different than Tuscaloosa.
Right. What I mean is, I can make real political trouble for the school board member based off a very parochial issue from Sylacauga, when it actually doesn't have anything to do with the state policy that they're trying to make. You run into political problems, electoral problems, that aren't necessarily, in some ways, are absolutely competing with the best interests of state education policy. So, you know, like I said, it's just these issues, these competing interests, I've seen it for years and years on the school board when these board members, some of whom are doing a great job, or at least try to, some of them are horrible, but they keep getting elected. Let's just be real about it. Some people that have held this state back, have not done a good job as far as advancing progress in education, keep getting elected to the state school board, and there's no end in sight. And so it's problematic. It's been that way for a while. It's good that they put this amendment up there. We'll see what happens on election day, but either way, I'm not optimistic about the state suddenly turning around and saying, "Well, yeah, now we're going to hold our school board members accountable. Now we're going to do it. We haven't done it.
You're right. You're right.
1969, but we're going to do it tomorrow."
Yeah, no, I agree, but I would hope things would turn around with enough chastisement, but I don't know if I have enough hours in the day. All right, before we wrap up here, two things. Number one, remind folks how to get your email in their inbox. I mean, my gosh, it's the most important time to be checking out your email right now.
It is. It's a great time to be subscribed. It's really easy, and it's free. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top of the page. Enter your name and your email, and you're on the list. We've got, yeah, but you're going to want to get the Election Day edition both the day of and the day after to get all those good election results. And now's a great time to be conscribed. Plus, we've got the legislative session going on.
I mean, it's crazy, y'all. Y'all have got to get Todd's email. And then from your Washington perspective, before we wrap here, so what did Buttigieg get? Do you think do you think he's going to be VP?
That's a good question. And look, there's a lot of reasons why that may be a great idea as far as maybe some of the generational things he brings to the table. Surely he's getting something. I think Buttigieg is smart enough not to give that endorsement without a pretty good idea of what he's going to get. But, you know, breaking news right now is that Klobuchar is also out. Now she's really interesting.
I hadn't heard that. Okay, that's
being from the Midwest and all this. Yeah, Klobuchar just announced she's expanding her campaign. Being from Minnesota, maybe being able to play in places like Wisconsin and Michigan, that's really important. So both of those being Midwest people, I would look to for the VP slot to be one of them, because that's where really the election is going to be decided, right? And Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, places like that.
Well, if they can put together, I mean, just looking at the numbers, if they can put together Klobuchar supporters, Buttigieg supporters with Biden, now I think from stuff I've seen, they have more share of the Democrat voters than Sanders does.
I think that's clearly what's happening here, right? I mean, Sanders just shot up as far as delegates and votes, and it's spooking everybody out because they know that, you know, even if Sanders is competitive electorally, right, even if he is competitive with Trump, which is kind of a long shot, they know that when it comes to those U.S. Senate races and U.S. House races, man, it is down ballot poison, and because it scares everybody. Suddenly, you know, one thing that Trump, the success of his economy has done is let voters go and vote culturally, right? Nobody's voting their pocketbook anymore. It's just the way they feel. And that actually gives Democrats an advantage, because if they don't personally like Trump and don't appreciate his, you know, vulgarity sometimes, then they can, you know, justify a vote for somebody else. But Sanders, and being a socialist, completely flips that on its head, because suddenly, if you're in the suburbs, Sanders and the socialists are coming after that affluence that you worked hard to get. That changes the paradigm. That's why you're seeing this, you know, freak out from the you know, less socialist Democrats to say, all right, we gotta do something here and put this back in the bottle.
There it is, and we'll be talking. I can't wait to be talking to you on the day after, on Wednesday, to get your take on what happens tomorrow.
It'll be fun. One way or another, we're probably getting 4 more weeks of winter, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Something like that. Thank you. Thank you, prognosticator and friend Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Man, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Sean. Be good.
All right. Will do. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. We are live at the Dumbwaiter in downtown Mobile right here on Bienville Square. See the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit with a fantastic job of parallel parking that I did here in front of the building. Come on in, because they are open for lunch. The first time in 4 years, as Wes Lambert, candidate in AL1, is having a little lunch and working here like he's going to do tomorrow as well on Super Tuesday. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile. We are live at the Dumbwaiter along with Wes Lambert, the owner here and proprietor and businessman like he tells you about in the commercials. I'm watching him working right now here at his restaurant, and also see his name tomorrow on the ballot for AL1, the Republican primary. Thanks for having us out.
No, thank you very much.
And by the way, I'm just going to we'll talk politics in a second here.
Let's talk food.
This is more fun. This is the open-faced pot
open
roast.
Face, yeah, roast beef sandwich with blue cheese.
This is insane.
It's good.
It is really good. Because I was looking at a couple different items, and y'all, Wes looked at me and said, no, Sullivan, you want to get the sandwich.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite dishes is our pot roast.
I know y'all do pot roast in the evening. Night. Mm-hmm. But now it's sandwich style, open face, with surprise. Y'all, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
This is good stuff. And people are obviously very happy you were open for lunch.
Not it's a bad been, turnout for
yeah,
today.
It's been 4 years, right?
Been 4 years. So, and it'll probably be another four unless we open for you guys.
Well, I'm impressed, though. You're doing this, you know, on the day before all the marbles, you know, on Super Tuesday.
So it just, you know, it takes your, we've been working so hard for a year plus, not me, but all of us. And you just want to have some fun with this, too.
Right.
And I looked at this as having some fun, talking with you guys, talking with everybody on the radio. And
right.
Just having some good food, and before we go start putting out signs all
yes.
night
yes,
at polling
that.
Places. So we want to get some get on the radio a little bit more and just tell people just get out and vote tomorrow.
Why, and when they go, why should they vote Wes Lambert?
They should vote me because I'm the only one that's truly, in my opinion, a true businessman, full-time businessman.
I'm watching it. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
You know, the other guys, Pringle, I like Pringle a lot. Good friends with him and Jerry. And I just feel that, you know, I've never been a politician, and I feel like I have different ideas.
This is your first run for office.
So, you know, people ask me about, you know, city, mayor.
Right.
And I just felt like I could do more for our environment, our Gulf Coast people here in Congress, and I could have a team of six other people on the board with me, like a county commission or a
right.
city council or so forth.
Well, this is a real treat to get to talk with you the day before and watching you run your business
right.
at the same time. It is, I think this is what our founders wanted.
It is. You know? It was founded for the working class,
yeah.
and that's what
somebody who Somebody who would have a business back then, probably more farm or whatever, and yeah. then go serve and come back
to your work, and that's
because your work was way more, you know, way more important to your family. Maybe mm-hmm. your service to the country,
yeah.
you know, was going to Washington. Seems like some of those things have turned around over time.
Right. I think they've turned around a lot, but I think we need to get back to our roots, and that's why we founded the Constitution like we did.
Very good. Coming right back, we'll talk more next hour with Wes Lambert. Also, it's snapper regulations. They're out. Did you know?
I did.
The new regulations are out. Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, joins us next. And we are live at the Dumbwaiter. Come see us downtown Mobile, right across from Bienville Square.